Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that we'll be looking at this evening comes from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, beginning at verse 14, where the prophet Moses is preparing the people of Israel for when he would pass away and they would enter Israel without him. We read from Deuteronomy chapter 18. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of assembly, when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die." The Lord said to me, "What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death." You may say to yourselves, "How can we know when a message has not been proclaimed by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed." This is the word of our Lord. My brothers and sisters in Christ who have come to see, to witness the coming of your Lord by coming to his precious word. One of the blessings that I get to serve among all the pastors at Grace, mine ministry and mine alone, is that of campus ministry. And especially this time of year, as I look across the street and I see the 40,000 some full-time students who are getting ready for a Christmas break, a whole mission field full of opportunities and challenges particular to that age range. 18, 25-year-olds who are experiencing complete freedom for the first time in their lives and learning who they are, often by trial and error. With the school year getting ready to start their break, tomorrow's the last day of finals, officially. With them getting ready for a break, I find myself having some extra time on my hands. So I've been doing some research on reaching this age group, because you may not expect it, but even though I'm only 5-some years removed from them, enough things have changed that I can't assume what was true for me is true for them. One of the most amazing things I have learned in my research so far is where you go to learn something new. Remember when I was a child that you would go to the library. You would go and check out a book like Windows for Dummies or Dog Training 101. And you would read that book with such great attention because this was how you're going to learn that knowledge you're going after. You would talk to an expert in the field. If you want to become a better athlete, you speak to a coach. While that still happens, more and more, people are looking online, on the internet, to learn new things. But as you know as well as I do, not everything you read online is true. You need to separate the wheat from the chaff. You need to know what is the truth, that discernment. When it comes to spiritual matters, that discernment of what is truth becomes all the more important. You can type it in into Google. What does the Bible say about dot, dot, dot? You will get a million different answers. Which answer is the truth and which are confusions or outright lies? The world around us doesn't give us much to work with. They say that if you simply go out in nature, if you go out in nature and simply meditate, think godly thoughts, that God will come to you and he will speak into your heart, give you that emotion, that idea that somehow will come to you. Another idea. If you simply have faith and look inside, you'll discover the answer for yourself. But as you and I know, when we are looking for the divine truth, looking out in the world is not going to help us much. Looking online may confuse us all the more. Where we are to look is the Word of God, where we witness our Savior's present coming. We would do well to listen to the words that Moses spoke to the nation of Israel. He prepared them for he would pass away. Because we listen to those words, we see how it is that our Savior continues to come to us in his word with a message that is from God himself. A message that we can trust no matter what. 40-some years before Moses spoke the words in Deuteronomy 18, he was out at Horeb, or as it's also known, Mount Sinai. He was with the nation of Israel, and there the presence of God was very, very visible. Thunder and lightning, the great fire, there was a cloud on top of Mount Sinai, and the people knew that they couldn't be in God's presence. And when the Lord spoke, the ground shook, and they said, "Moses, Moses, we can't be here. We need you to go up and speak to God on our behalf." So Moses went on up Mount Sinai, spent 40 days there. When he came back, the Ten Commandments and the law that we find in Exodus and Leviticus was all in Moses' hands. Acting as the prophet, the people wanted him to do. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of the word prophet, I often think of someone who can talk about the future, about what is going to happen with certainty. And that's certainly part of what a prophet does. But perhaps it's better to realize that a prophet is really a spokesperson of sorts. That there is a divine source of knowledge, of information, and the prophet is the one who speaks those words to somebody else. Certainly, when you talk about the future, that is God's knowledge, for you and I do not know what is going to happen tomorrow. But a prophet does more than speak God's message for the future. It's also about what's presently going on. This is what Moses was doing when he came down Mount Sinai with the law of God, telling the people how they were to live as the chosen nation, as the cradle for the Savior. But 40-some years later, Moses is going to pass away. The nation of Israel is going to be without a prophet. So God says, "This is how I will continue to speak to my people." He says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name." There were certainly many people who fulfilled this prophecy in part from Moses on. But we see that ultimate fulfillment in our Savior, Jesus. Born in the town of David. An Israelite through and through. He spoke the words that God said. He spoke what was on God's mind to all the people around him, even if they wanted to hear it or not. And God will hold those on account who reject what he has said, that Jesus is the way, the only way to heaven. Jesus really is this promised prophet who that Moses is talking about. And so Simon Peter, when he says in John chapter 6, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. How right Peter is. For it's Jesus alone who was up in heaven and came down to earth to tell us what our Lord has for today and for the future. And Jesus and his word alone that we find what the truth is. No longer do we expect to have God speak through divine revelation or in dreams. We have the Bible, the word of God itself. We have all of that our Lord has for us to know. Because it's in the Bible, it's not just any other book, but it's where our Savior himself speaks to us in this present time. But we don't always use or honor that word as we should. It's all so easy. We have a hardship or a trouble. Without even knowing it, to imitate the way that the world looks for help, for truth. When is it that you go to the Lord in prayer? For help. For comfort. Is it after you've exhausted every other opportunity and that you have no other recourse except to finally call in the big guns? Our Lord doesn't say to call on me on the day of trouble when the sky is falling and you have no other choice. Call me in every day of trouble, no matter how small it is. For just as a parent lovingly helps their child with any small problem on their mind, so our Heavenly Father loves to help us with the smallest of troubles that we may have. When we go to God in his word, when we have the troubles on our hearts, do we look in the right places? Have you ever done this where something's on your heart, you have something that's troubling your mind, and so you take your Bible and you open it up to the first random place, hoping that that phrase you find will somehow answer all of your questions? Now, I'm not saying God can't work through that. He is all powerful, can do all things. But is that not asking for a modern-day sign from our Lord? The very thing Moses speaks against in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Because if we simply open up to random places in the Bible, we're turning a blind eye to the organization that God has given us in his word. When there are troubles in a person's marriage, to look to places in the Bible such as Matthew chapter 5, Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, to see how our Lord designed marriage to be that wonderful blessing on this side of heaven. When you hear the news of Christmas, how our Savior was born in Bethlehem, do you struggle with self-esteem? Do you wonder if that Savior is your Savior? Look at places like 1 John chapter 3, Ephesians 2, or Romans 5. A handful of examples where we see timeless gospel truths that you are his child. That Savior is your Savior. And you haven't been passed over or somehow forgotten. The good news of Christmas is your good news as well. It's in God's word where we see what the truth is from our Lord. Because this is the message that is from God. It's in this word. We see that our Savior Jesus, it's much more than the prophet who continues to speak to us today, but we see that he really is the promised Savior of the Old Testament that everyone had been looking forward to for so long. those Ten Commandments and the law that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai, they all pointed ahead to our Savior, to the reason why we need Him, to how Jesus would save us by keeping each and every one of those, from the big old Ten Commandments to the littlest law in Leviticus. He kept that perfectly. He spoke the message that people need to hear. The message of sins committed to people who did not want to hear it. To the chief priests and the elders who would put Jesus up on a cross because they didn't like what He was saying. It's in the Word of God where we witness our Savior's sacrifice for us on that cross. The sacrifice to end all sacrifices, to receive the full punishment of all of our sins. So you and I may live in peace. So you and I may have true joy. So you and I may look at God and not call Him the judge who will condemn us, but the Savior will bring us with Him to home. This is the word from God. Our Savior comes to us. We witness His coming today. But you don't have to take my word for it. Because when you look at what the Bible says, all those prophecies of the Old Testament, you see that what it says is true as proven by history. Moses knew that the people of Israel were going to wonder how it is that they could tell between a false prophet and a true prophet if someone really was saying a message from God. So God gives them a litmus test that we can use as well. This is what God says. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. When you look at God's word and His record in history, would you agree with me that the Bible does back up what it says? In another part in Deuteronomy, Moses prophesied that the nation of Israel would one day ask for a king to imitate the heathen neighbors around them. And what happened 400 some years later? The prophet Samuel crowned Saul king, just as Moses said, just as God said. The prophet Daniel received a vision from God explaining how the world superpowers would change from the Babylonians to the Persians to the Greeks and to the Romans. And who was in power when the first Christmas came? Caesar Augustus, the greatest emperor that Rome ever knew. Just as God said. And the prophet Isaiah said that the virgin would become with child and give birth to Emmanuel, God with us. What happened 700 years later? Mary and Joseph, shepherds and the angels, worshiping God Himself, the babe in Bethlehem. God's word has not failed us in the past, and it will not fail us in the future. We can trust what it says. From the small historical little happenings to the big promises that seem outside of our comprehension, we can trust what it says when it says how our Lord comes to us in more than just the word, but also in the sacraments that we have. Baptism and Holy Communion, these two sacred acts where our Lord uses the elements of this world to bring to us the joys, the blessings from heaven, in a way that does not make much sense up here. How is it that water and word can come together to create faith in a person? I don't know. But God's word tells me, so I trust it. Whenever you come to worship here and you see our baptismal font in front, or we begin most of our services in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you hear again your day when you were baptized, when the Lord called you His. Long before you did anything for Him, He already made you part of His family. And you still are His child. Our Lord has not simply left us with the words of comfort from our baptism or in His word, but He comes with His body and blood, together with and under the bread and the wine and Holy Communion, so we may receive the forgiveness of sins, not only when we hear the words, but in our very own mouths. A sacred union between us and God. A sacred common union between us and those that we commune with, showing that we do not walk in this life alone. We walk arm in arm with brothers and sisters in the faith who believe the exact same thing that we do, who witness our Savior's coming each and every day. So as you look for where the truth can be found in spiritual matters, look to where your God speaks to you. The message we have in the Bible is from God Himself. The message when you wonder what is going to happen in the future, when you're going through hard times in life, the message that tells you that you are forgiven. Even if your reason can't make sense of that, even when your conscience says otherwise, you are a child of God. Trust that message. To go to that word. So when Satan comes with his temptations, you know where to look to fight him off. You know where to look to see where your Savior speaks to you. So you may always and always presently witness where your Lord comes to you in the word, baptism, and in Holy Communion. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.